Awesome. Good morning, everyone. So, lucky to be here, and I'm excited for this word. It's been something I've been feeling God speak to me over the last few weeks. So really trusting that as we hear His word this morning, that the Holy Spirit will just come and do something in us. So the title of our message this morning is Wineskins. And I want to start by reading a portion of Scripture together. It's out of Luke 5, verse 33 to 39. So, this is now Jesus and the Pharisees comes to him. And they say to him, it's the Pharisees say to him, to Jesus, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. I mean, you know, look at us. We often fast and pray. But yours go on eating and drinking, obviously speaking about Jesus' disciples. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. In those days they will fast. He told them this parable, and this is what I want to focus on this morning. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, you will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Who's ever read that portion before? Interesting portion, eh? There's a lot going on there. And sometimes we can struggle to make sense of it because it can feel like Jesus is like talking about different things all at once. Like he's talking about fasting and praying, and then he goes into an old garment. You can't patch a new garment with an old piece of material, and then he goes into wine and wineskin. So there's a lot happening there. So I want to try to break it down for us this morning. This portion of Scripture gives us three parables. And the context of this is actually Jesus teaching about the new covenant and versus the old covenant. So the new covenant and the reign of Jesus versus the old covenant. So in the first parable, the old garment speaks of the old covenant. And that is the law, that's the commandments, that's the traditions that you have to follow, that you have to abide by, that you have to come every now and again, and you have to come and you have to present animals as a blood offering for your sins. So that's an old garment. Thanks. The new garment speaks of the new covenant, the grace and redemption that we have in Jesus. Under the old covenant, right standing with God was based on your works. Like you had to try to keep the law, you had to try to fulfill, you had to try to measure up. But in the new covenant, it is based on the works of Jesus, and it's based on having faith in what he has done for us, by having faith in the person of Jesus. And in what Jesus is saying here is you cannot mix the old garment with the new garment. I don't know much about sewing, but if you take an old piece of cloth and you put it on brand new material, as soon as you wash it, it's going to tear because obviously it will shrunk, etc., and it will spoil the new garment. And it won't match. So, I want to encourage us, because I'm not going to focus on this, but it is amazing just to think about that. I want to encourage us to go read this in the week, and go ask the Holy Spirit to come show us, what is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? Why can't we mix the two? What has Jesus done for us? Why is it so important to understand what he has done for us? Why is it so important to understand that in New Covenant, it's not based on our righteousness and what we can do, but it's based on what Jesus has done for us and his righteousness and his love and his grace for us? Because it has implications. It will change your life if you understand this. And it's not about understanding with your head, but it's about allowing the Spirit to transform your heart through this. Like the more we look to Jesus and the more we look to what he has done for us, you know, like I heard this week someone was talking about having a testimony, and And he was saying, you know, we often think if we don't have an amazing testimony of how God set us free from drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, and we have this radical testimony, we don't have anything to share. And that is actually a lie. You know, like each one of us can say this to anyone. Jesus died for my sin, for your sin. He rose from the dead. He conquered death and sin. He went and sat at the right hand of the Father, where he's praying for each one of us right now. And he gives us his Spirit to enable us to live for him and for his glory. How big a testimony is that? Each one of us has that, right? So we need to understand what it means. So I want to encourage you, go read this. Go ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you. Go read what the Bible says about the new covenant, what Jesus has done for us versus the old covenant. It really will change your life. This old patch, new patch thing can also speak about old way of doing things. So before you got saved, you might have had a certain attitude at work or towards your children or towards your wife or your husband. But now after we saved, that obviously changes, right? Now we can't live the way that we used to live. We are different now with our wives and our husbands. We're different with our kids. We work with a different attitude, etc. Thanks, Corin. So I want to encourage you. Go read that. Go think about that. Pray about that. This morning, I want to focus on parable 2 and 3 in this portion of Scripture. There's three parables. I want to focus on the last two. And this is in verse 37 and 38, if we can just put that on. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Just want to read those two verses for now. So the second parable teaches that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins, because wineskins in those days were made of skin, of animal skin or hide. These days we have glass bottles, which works much better. Praise the Lord, we don't have to drink wine out of skin. That's weird. I wouldn't have been able to live in that anyway. because what would happen is if you put new wine into old wineskins, the fermenting action of the new wine causes, and I went and researched this, caused pressure on the old skin due to the expansion that happens of the new wine. The new wineskins were able to stretch and allow the expansion of the new wine to happen. So if you put new wine into new wineskins, because the skin is still fresh and new, it's able to stretch with the wine. As the wine expands in the wineskin, it's able to stretch. And the problem was with older wineskins, that's a bit older, they were no longer elastic enough for that process to happen. They were stretched and they were rigid and they were brittle. And if you put new wine into an old skin, it can't handle the expansion and it will burst and your wine will be ruined and your skin, your wine skin will be ruined. Does it make sense? That's why you put new wine into new wine skins. Now, what does this parable mean in our context? I feel like the old wine skins, the skins that's brittle and rigid and that's already stretched. And for us, in our hearts, in our context, it can represent formulas, doctrines, habits, preferences, and familiarity that stands in the way of God, actually. It is when we put God in our box, thinking that we know what he wants to say or what he wants to do in us and through us. That's an old wineskin. And how dangerous is that for our walk with God, right? When we just assume that when we try to put what God wants to do into our old wineskins that can't stretch. And I just want to quickly look at each aspect that represents the old wineskins. The first one is formulas. Thinking that because God moved or spoke or did something in a certain way years ago or last week or yesterday, we think that is how God always wants to move or always wants to speak to us. We think that because we know how he worked in the old days, like last week or a few years ago, we think that we know God is, if God does this, this is what we do, and this is the outcome. 1 + 1 = 2. But actually, Do we allow God to speak and to move however he wants? In our hearts, to us in a community, do we allow God to do whatever he wants? Or do we think that we have him figured out? Do we think this is the formula that God uses? This is the formula that he will always use, and we can predict what he wants to do. And I want to encourage us this morning. That's an old wineskin. Doctrines, and I'm not talking about doctrines of the faith, right? I'm not talking about black and white things. I'm not talking, like, I'm not talking about that. We have to have solid doctrine, right? Paul tells Timothy that we have to watch our doctrine and our lives closely. We have to have solid doctrine. I'm talking about our own little theological things, doctrines that we hold, that we have in our minds, that this is how, again, God speaks, or this is how God moves. And the danger of that is when God does something different, that we're not able to shift with him. You know, if you don't believe in prophecy, as an example, and now you come into our context and someone prophesies, instead of going, that might be God, actually go, oh, no, but that doesn't fit in with my theology, my doctrine, sorry. Theology, thank you. I'm still Afrikaans, trying to get rid of it. No, I'm joking. And then we miss what God wants to say or wants to do because of that. And the issue is the Pharisees, if you go read the Bible, the Pharisees missed Jesus because he didn't fit in with their doctrine. He didn't fit in with what they thought it was going to be like when the Savior comes or when the Messiah comes. They thought he was going to redeem the land of the living Israel, and he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And that's what they were looking for, that they missed what he was doing and who he was. And we have the danger of that. We can miss what Jesus wants to do because we have old wineskins. We have doctrines that we believe in, and we're not willing to shift. Habits. That's the next one. Our way of doing things. Our way of reading the Bible. Our way of praying. Our way of spending time with others. This is the way that I spend time with others. Don't ask more of me. This is what I do. This is the way that I read the Bible. This is the way that I pray. This is the way that I worship. I feel comfortable. And the question or the encouragement is, do we give God access to challenge us in our habits, in the way that we do things, in the way that we think about things? Whoever that is agreeing with me. Preferences. Again, having our preferred way of seeing God speak or move. Or even our preferred way of how church or community group should look like. Do we come in here on a Sunday morning and then we see something that we don't like and then we kind of write it off? Or someone does something that we don't like. Or we like a specific style of worship. Or we don't like to praise, but we would like to worship. Or we would like to worship, but we don't like to praise. Like, do we have our preferred way of doing things, of seeing things in a certain way that actually gets in the way of what God wants to do? Are we open to God challenging our preferences? And then familiarity. Oh, Mervis said something last week which absolutely challenged me. Are we too familiar with God? And something that Mervis said last week is familiarity needs to be replaced by fascination. Are we fascinated with the person of Jesus? Do we see him and we hold him for who he is, for what he has done, for what he does for us and to us? Or are we so familiar with him, he doesn't actually grip our hearts anymore. He doesn't actually make us look at him in wonder and awe of who he is. Or are we so familiar with him, of seeing him in a certain way, that we actually miss him? Does it make sense? Do we spend time looking at him, beholding him? You know, in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul writes and he says, as we behold him, he changes into looking like himself. He takes us from glory to glory. As we contemplate his glory with unveiled faces in a new covenant, we see him for who he is and he changes us. Do we do that? Do we drink from him? He is a well. Do we drink from him? Do we behold him? And I want to say, this is our destiny. Is we must spend our lives looking at Jesus, walking with him, knowing him, being fascinated by him, and not get familiar with him, and not let our old wineskins get in the way of having new wine. Like, work is important. What we do is important. How we work is important. All that stuff's important. But first and foremost, the call for those who belong and to know Jesus is to be fascinated by Him, is to walk with Him. God desires to move and speak to us outside of our old wineskins. And if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to pour new wine into us, we can actually miss God. And that shouldn't be our heart's desire. We shouldn't be content with that, eh? We shouldn't be content with, oh, I like my preferences and my old way of doing things. It's okay if I miss God. That shouldn't be our hearts, right? Each one of us should go, I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss what He's saying to me. I don't want to miss what He wants to do in me. I don't want to miss what He wants to do through me. God wants to renew our minds for us to become new wineskins daily, step by step, bit by bit, little by little. And the danger is when renewing the mind doesn't take place, when we don't allow God to do this, we can get offended with God. And we're going to get offended with other people. Because now all of a sudden, I have an old wineskin, I like the old wine, and now someone does something that I disagree with, or it's not the way that I would do it, or it's not the way that I think we should do it, and then we get offended with people, or we get offended with God, because we can't shift, and we can't allow God to do what He wants to do, and say what He wants to say. And then we can take offense. And that's a dangerous place to be. Will we allow God to change us into new wineskins so that we can stretch enough to be able to have new wine? That is a question I want to ask this morning. And the thing is with old wineskins, if you pour old wine into old wineskins, there is a bit of wiggle room. So it can stretch a tiny bit. So I'm not saying that you're not going to hear God or you're not going to find His presence or you're not going to grow. I'm not saying that. God is gracious enough and He loves us. I'm saying you're going to miss what God wants to do, new things that God wants to do. If we stay old wineskins, we'll still be able to hear God and see Him move, but not in a way that He wants for us, which is important. It's about Him and His glory. Does it make sense, everyone? Let's move to the third parable. This is in verse 39. And I must say, when I read this, I had to think about this and really pray about this because I didn't understand what Jesus was saying here. Because He speaks about new wine, new wineskins. Obviously, the encouragement is to be new wineskins so that you can take new wine. And then He says this, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, which is interesting. For He says the old is better. And for me, this is a picture of our natural reluctance to abandon the old for the new. We are creatures of habit. We like being comfortable. We like to know what to expect. We like the known. And we can be reluctant to desire new wine. And Jesus actually was directing this to the Pharisees, because He was obviously speaking to the Pharisees, how the Pharisees actually liked their way of doing things and their system and how they were doing things and waiting for their Messiah to come, that they missed who Jesus was and what He was doing because they liked the old better than the new. And the danger is it can be so with us. We can be reluctant to desire the new wine because we like the old wine. It's comfortable. We know what we get. And we know what's going to happen. Someone in my family needs to make a decision about work. Not at the end of this year, but only at the end of next year. And she was praying and fasting for 40 days, not a full fast, a Daniel fast. I mean, nothing wrong with fasting for 40 days. That's incredible if you can. And she was praying and really trusting that God will speak to her for the start of 2027, which is amazing. That's amazing. And then, but at the end of the 40 days, we had a conversation, and she was quite disappointed because she was saying God didn't speak to her about 2027. And we were having a conversation, and I was just saying, if God speaks to you now about 2027, what you need to do in 2027. Why would you need Him today or tomorrow or the next day? Why would you have to walk in faith and trust Him to lead and to guide you if you already know what's going to happen down the line, right? Because it makes us comfortable if we know what's going to happen down the line. But that's not the way that we call to walk with Jesus. We call to walk with Jesus today. We call to walk with Him tomorrow. We call to walk in faith, not by sight, but in faith, walking with Him daily, knowing Him daily. The Bible says we have to keep in step with the Spirit, and we don't have to keep in step with the Spirit if we know what He's going to do in 6 weeks' time. You know, it's the same with church. People ask me, what's my vision for the year? And then I go, yo, that's a heavy one. I don't even know what God's going to do in November. How must I tell you what He's going to do at the end of the year or what He's going to do in January? We keep in step with Him. And we have a team, and we have team for a reason. It's not a solo sport. We do this in team always. But I don't know what God's going to do. How must I tell you what the vision is for Josh and Weinberg if I don't even know what He's going to say to me next week or the week after? It's as we step, as we keep in step with Him, as we daily come to Him and walk with Him and know Him, as we daily ask Him for new wine, as we daily ask the Holy Spirit to come challenge us in the way that we do things or see things, that's when He comes. And that's when He reveals Himself to us. So we are creatures of habit who like to be comfortable and to live in the known, in what to expect. So I really want to encourage us this morning. You know, just like Jesus drove out the money collectors and overturned the tables in the temple, if you guys remember that parable, He came into the temple and they were selling stuff, and it was almost like a marketplace, and Jesus created a whip, and He drove out the animals, and He overturned the tables. This is in John 2. Will we allow Him to do the same in our hearts? Just like Peter stepped out the boat to go to Jesus, can we be prepared to step out the boat? Not if, when, because it's going to happen. Jesus calls us to step out the boat. Can we be people who desire new wineskins and new wine of the Holy Spirit? Because that's the key. We can't make it happen. We can't force it. The only thing we need to do is posture our hearts, not once, not twice, but daily, where we desire, where we ask the Holy Spirit, give me a desire for new wine. Make me a new wineskin. And we, as we walk with Him and as we pray this and as we posture our hearts in humility, He does the work. He does it. He calls us out the boat. He overturns the tables. It's not us. Can we today, tomorrow, daily, let go of our formulas, of our doctrines, of our habits, preferences, familiarity? Can we let go of that daily and get a fascination with Jesus? Can we ask Jesus consistently to change us into new wineskins? And just imagine how we as a body, as a family, will reflect Him and bring glory to Him if each person does this. Just imagine. Just imagine what we would look like if all of us come in here on a Sunday morning or when we meet together or when we go for walks or when we have supper together or community groups. Just imagine what we would look like if every person has this desire for new wine and new wineskins. And Corinne shared something in our prayer meeting this morning. She was referencing also actually out of John 2. Jesus' first miracle, where He turns water into wine. You guys remember that? How easy was it for Jesus to turn water into wine? Right? If you go read that parable, he was at a wedding. Wine was finished. Jesus' mother came to Him saying, "Wine's finished." And all Jesus said to the servants was, "Just fill those jars of clay with water, and then take it for the master of ceremonies to drink." And then that wine was better than the wine that they had. What was the role that the servants had to do? Just had to be obedient. They just had to do what Jesus told them to do. And Jesus did the rest. And was it difficult for Jesus to turn that water into wine? Did He have to do anything other than just give the command? No. It's the same with us. Jesus will turn us into new wineskins. He will give us new wine if we are obedient and if we just keep in step with Him and just follow Him. He does it. We can't.